going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we react to the pick of Jahad Campbell in the first round for the Eagles, I love it. The more that I thought about it as last night ended, this morning started, and thinking about how the Eagles could use this player, I love the pick of Jahad Campbell out of Alabama. It's one of those picks, I think we were a little bit surprised last night because we saw a linebacker next to his name, but then as you listen to how they're going to use him, what he did in college, how he started off, they got a player here that is versatile, and I wouldn't be surprised as the years go on that they get a lot out of him in the pass rush.
Yeah,
he could do it.
I think so. I would not be surprised if he comes out there and he's one of the key pieces to their pass rush when he is healthy. I think that you have a bunch of guys out here that you're going to have a pass rush by committee, and it worked well for him last year. Mm-hmm. It really, really did, because you didn't know where the pass rush was coming from. Saw Jalen Hunt have a big game in the Super Bowl, Nolan Smith. So I don't have a problem with it just not being one guy, but a bunch of guys.
So I think if the Eagles had made this same pick 5 years ago, I don't think I would have liked it as much, because I wouldn't have been sure they would have known how to get the most out of this kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
The Vic Fangio factor does make me feel confident. Kyle, back in the day when they had Jim Schwartz, or just before Fangio, it was even Gannon, I think my take would have been, all right, he could maybe do both, but will they get the most out of him? I feel like Fangio can do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is his specialty. His linebacker is sort of like the back seven, as opposed to like the front seven, front four.
So we got Coach Hurt up there.
Coach Nonek.
Yeah. Coach Nonek.
He's leaving it to Coach Nonek. But like, Fangio's known for, I think, getting the most out of linebackers and secondary players. And, I mean, we saw that last season. The defensive line was not the strongest unit on the defense, like, by any stretch. They were aided tremendously by the fact that the secondary was so good and that they were able to cover or stay in coverage for so long. That helped guys get home and eventually led to a lot of sacks.
Well, think about their top picks since Fangio got here. Quinyon, Cooper, and now a versatile linebacker, right? They've gone away from their old ways, which is just the down lineman, the trenches, and they're getting players that could affect the game in different ways. And I trust Fangio to get a lot out of this player. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, and then we'll react to what happened within the division last night, which included a guard to the Cowboys, the Giants getting two players, including a quarterback, and an interesting pick for the Commanders last night right in front of the Eagles. Andy in Westchester. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Andy. What's up?
Nothing. I love the pick. Love it, love it, love it. It was, I think it was Fabian earlier said, I almost forgot he was there when they got to him. And then they traded up, which was weird to me at first, that they traded only one pick, and then heard Howie explain it that, they're just trying to block anyone else from getting there. But my buddy and I were texting back and forth about it. Actually, you're a terrible influence. We were
What'd you do now?
What I do?
$2 bets on who was going to pick whom.
Oh, the $2 bets is parlay.
Yeah. there was a $2 Venmos flying back and forth all night.
You know, that is a way to make the draft more interesting. $2 on the next name that goes.
I mean, and then you keep the cost low.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not like you're using a whole bunch of money.
But you get on a run, you might end up with a $10 bill, Andy.
Yeah, you might be.
Well, Eight Leg Hugh has become one of my favorites for next year. Spider Douglas, I call him.
Spider Douglas.
But anyway, yeah, I think it's, I'd forgotten about or didn't even know about the knee injury either, but he's young and the surgeries are so good now that I'm not worried at all about him recovering. I think he's got such good upside, and yes, I knew who he was before the draft as well. I don't know
He's crazy. So every mock draft, I think one of our mock drafts for the Daily Mock, he slipped to the Eagles and we talked about it. But most of them, Andy, that we found, he was gone. Like, he was somewhere in the teens, right? So he was in every one of these mock drafts. Just most of them, he didn't fall down to the Eagles.
Yeah, and on top of that, it was just made it even better because you can count on the Cowboys to do cowboy things and drafting a guard. I don't know. It just seems like they're fun to watch at this point.
Well, they are, yeah. And even if they make a good pick, the value might not be there. Andy, we appreciate the phone call. So Andy brought up the knee issue. Can we hear from Adam Schefter again? Because while I like the pick a lot, I love the pick. I think he'd be a great player. I think we have to pay attention to this injury stuff. There's a reason he fell. And I thought both Jihad last night and Howie were very vague about when is he going to get on the field.
Like, yeah.
No one said he'll be ready in 6 weeks. No one said training camp. They're just like, well, taking it day by day. Listen to Adam Schefter last night, because it seems like there's multiple things here. Hugh, he had shoulder surgery. He ran at the combine, but I don't think he did anything besides that because he
lift anything.
Right, but if that was it, I think that'd be one thing. It seems like there's more medical stuff with him. Let's hear Schefter last night when the pick was made.
Well, the Eagles tried trading up earlier in the draft to go get Jihad Campbell, and the trade fell through, but they were able to persevere and trade up one spot. A lot of people might ask, why would you trade up one spot? Well, I think it's to block another team from potentially coming up, especially when it only costs you a fifth-round draft pick and you've got 20 picks in the next two rounds to use as ammunition. And now they get a player who, as Mel mentioned, could have gone from 12 to 15. He did have surgery on one of his shoulders. He's going to need surgery on another shoulder potentially after this season. He's got a knee issue as well, but the talent is undeniable, Greeny.
All right, so that he threw that knee thing in there at the end, and I don't think anyone knew about. So he has a knee issue. He may need surgery on his other shoulder,
yeah,
and he had surgery
on
one.
Yeah. But if they feel confident in the fact that he can give them something, you know, I mean, you know what? That kind of changes for me. If you, going into a season knowing that you're going to need a surgery after the season is kind of interesting.
What do you think that means?
Like, I don't know. And when he said it, I just thought about it. I'm like, okay. How do you be a productive player in this season if you're not prepared for this season? I don't know. Maybe I doubt that this happens, but just to throw it out there, I don't think you're going to get a player to give him another surgery to get him ready to play next year. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Do you think it's something where, like, they obviously they do x-rays, right? They do medicals. They see
that at some point you're going to need surgery.
There's a small labrum tear, but it's fine now, but eventually we're going to have to repair that thing. I'm just trying to guess.
I don't know. I think that's a weird thing to say.
It is.
It's a weird thing to say.
They haven't played a game yet. He will need surgery after the season.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to say. I don't know. I don't know. Because I can't fathom the Eagles drafting a player that you're going to play in 2026?
Well, so I would be surprised if he doesn't play at all next year.
With the first pick?
Well, when you saw that pick last night, did you think that was a pick specifically for next year, or was it long-term? See, I think it's more of a long-term
bet. I think that when you talk about it, and we're playing some matches, but now that I'm thinking about the conversation, you do have a valid point. I was thinking immediate impact. You know, because I envision him being, and I'm pretty sure everybody else did, I envision him playing this year at some point. Maybe not at the beginning of the year, because the talk was, he's not going to be ready for training camp. Okay, that's cool. You know, But will he be ready? I'm thinking he'll be ready for maybe the third game or the second game
or
something like that.
Well, let's use the Cooper DeJean example.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Cooper missed a lot of camp, and then by the fifth game, he was back in.
Yeah, so I was thinking something more along those lines, but I thought that there was going to be a chance that we could see him. When Adam said, see, here's the thing. Like, a lot of times people say stuff because they like to talk and, you know, just, you know, give you insight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't see the Eagles drafting somebody with the first pick that's not going to pay them immediate dividends.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And what I mean by that, you know, we're talking about he might not be at training camp. But I don't think he's going to sit a whole season.
Well, and look, their doctors may view him differently than other doctors. I mean, there may have been some teams that said, uh-oh, this kid's a, you know, he's got issues here. He's going to need surgeries. He's not going to last. Maybe the Eagles doctors say, no, I think it's okay, right? We don't, what he's hearing from one team might not be what the Eagles think. I mean, they're the ones that traded up to get him.
Yeah.
But it is notable. I just feel like it was left out of the conversation a lot last night. That they're like, hey, where is he physically? Neither Howie nor the kid himself really wanted to talk about when he's going to play. We'll find out. I mean, Kyle, the Eagles have had hits and misses with this. I mean, the Landon Dickerson thing, I remember I sat here that night and was like, man, he's a big man with knee issues, and he's been very durable.
And then there was the Sidney Jones.
Which is the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, also, kind of Nakobe Dean.
Yes.
Right?
But so that's interesting because he has been banged up a lot, but he's also been good when he plays. You could look at it both ways.
But and that's why it's kind of interesting that he's coming in sort of in that role, Nakobe Dean's role. Like, he's going to eventually, I think at least, this signifies the beginning of the end of Nakobe Dean as an Eagle. But it's interesting that clearly they don't have the same reservations that we do or that a lot of other people did because they, I mean, look, not only did they take him in the first round, but they moved up a spot to get him.
So, and reportedly tried to go up even further to get him.
Right. So I guess they're not really as worried about it as some of us. It's just interesting, though, that he, with those issues, is going to be the guy to eventually, I think, replace Nakobe Dean.
I know. It's like they're doing it again, just with a higher upside player. I would like to hear at some point soon someone with them or him say when he'll be cleared, right? And then I could just go off of that, right? If they tell me he'll be cleared in August or the middle of August, a timeline would make me feel...
Yeah, you want some, especially when you have so many vague reports out there. I mean, let's just be real. That report from Adam Schefter is not something that Eagles fans want to hear today.
Well, because everyone's excited for the player.
Yeah, and they're excited to see him this year.
Right.
And see him in this defense this year, especially coming off of a Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this about him becoming a pass rusher. How long do you think it takes to learn the nuance of doing that? Like, he's got physical tools. He could run pass or through. Like the nuance of pass rushing. Is that something he can learn over a training camp, or is that it's going to build over years?
I think that initially, with his ability to play off the ball, he could probably rush from a two-point. He could rush from a three-point. I think his speed is going to be the thing that's going to make it easier for him to pass rush, because as a I would think as a lineman that your biggest thing is when you see a guy with that kind of speed, and I see this with Nolan, is that you got to make sure you have a good get off, and you have to try to beat him to the point. So with his power and his size, there'll be times where the easiest thing to do would turn that from a speed to power rush. And what I mean by that is start up the field, run, like take that hard first step up the field. And when you see that tackle kicking, there's a good chance you catch him off balance and just run him over.
Like Nolan does.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that, because you got some guys that come off the corner, they get off the ball, and he looks like one of those guys. So that's not going to be that hard. You're talking about most guys that when they get caught in that hand wrestling where you have to keep the hands off of you and get to an edge or do a push and pull move and do things like that. I don't think he's going to have to do that because I think initially his burst is going to cause tackles to have fits.
Let's talk to Spike and Bristol, and then we'll talk about what happened in the NFC East along with the Eagles last night. Spike, how you doing? Spike? Okay, put her back on hold. Let's grab Tom in Middletown.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, listen, I was so excited about calling in today because I'm happy with the pick and, like, happy that you stayed awake. And
we all are. Yeah, we're all happy.
But listen, Kyle, I don't know for what reason he hit me below the belt on the pre-call. And
what did he say? Like, what did he do to you?
I am upset. Listen, let me frame this for you. I told him I'm calling in to give Hugh props that he stayed awake because I tapped out early. I'm watching the draft upstairs in bed with my wife, and she wakes me up to tell me that the Eagles drafted an injured linebacker. Now, she knows enough football to, like, keep around. Like she's good enough to, like, watch football with and all that, but she doesn't know everything.
Say to keep around.
Keep around, yeah.
So you know.
Wonderful way to talk about a spouse. Keep them around. Go ahead, Tom.
But I'm saying, you know what was said to me?
What?
From what I know of you, she probably knows more than you do about football.
Wow, dude.
Oh, Kyle said that to you?
Kyle said that.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, is that a shot?
You'll live.
It was a shot. Yeah, it was a total shot.
That's a shot below the belt. And here I am. I'm going to issue a challenge right now. All right, because I know more football than what Kyle thinks I know.
I'll cook you. Whatever this is.
I will pay the fee for any fantasy league that you want to go in. I will pay the fee. And it's me against you. Whoever has the highest points at the end of the year, if you win, I'll pay you. If I win, then you give a public apology for me for saying that.
Points for what? Why does everyone want public apologies for me?
Because that carries weight around these points.
There's not much we could do for people. We talk.
They're
right?
All so hollow for me.
Yeah, he doesn't mean it.
He don't mean them because he said, what'd you say to Ken?
You don't want that. They're very sarcastic.
Yeah. We have a show here where one person refuses to apologize. Mm-hmm. One person gives you fake apologies. I'm the only one that apologizes for real.
How did I get drawn into it?
No, because we know you refuse to apologize.
I apologize when I'm wrong. I'm very seldom wrong, though.
Many would dispute that. Many.
Dude, I mean, that was just wrong. That just ruined my whole call when the pre-call. You'll be fine.
You'll be okay.
I mean,
your feelings are hurt. You'll be okay.
All right,
okay.
Tom. We know you know ball. What do you think
Rub
of this?
Some dirt on
what
it.
Do you think of the pick?
I love the pick, and I didn't understand it until I started watching tapes of this guy. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh! He was under my radar. I'm sorry. Maybe I don't know enough about football. Mm. Okay, but yeah, he was under my radar, but he wasn't on your radar either. So.
So he wasn't on our radar compared to other guys. You're right, Tom. I mean, two reasons. One,
we were stuck on edge rusher. We were tackle.
Yeah, I don't think we were looking at him the right way. Also, I didn't think he was going to be there because almost every mock I saw, he was top 20. So I kind of assumed he'd be gone, and they probably wouldn't draft him anyway. And both were wrong.
Well, this guy's got the talent from the films that I'm watching. Yeah. He could do a lot of things, a plethora of things. I mean, like, we could use him everywhere. If he's healthy, and just let him get a chance to heal a little bit. He's fine. He's a young kid. They'll be fine.
And they don't have to rush it. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, this is one of the things about Howie and what he did in the offseason. And Tom, we preached the phone call. Hugh, they don't have to feel like they have to rush him at all. Like, if he's not ready until September, October, they can get by. I mean, maybe they won't be as good as they'll be, like the Cooper DeJean situation last year, but they can get by. They've got bodies. They got Ojulari. They got Uche. They got obviously, they brought in Jalix Hunt last year in the draft, Nolan Smith. They have some edge rushers here if that's where they were going to use them more. And they also have Jeremiah Trotter Jr. to play some linebacker if N'Kobe's not ready. It's not like they're going to – it's not super pressing, but it's just how quickly can he get on the field?
Yeah, but I will say this. I will be kind of bummed if I don't get the scene at the beginning of the season or like if we talking about late September or something like that, I'm going to be a little bummed out. Yeah, I'm going to be a little bummed out. Because I am excited to see how he fits in this defense, you know, and to have to wait a half a season to see that. I'm going to be excited when he gets out there. I'm going to be a little bummed.
Well, then you wonder about how much they put on his plate if he's behind, right? Like how much did Vic ask him to do? Is he just do one thing? Did he do multiple things to start off? That's going to be the story of him in training camp here. But I like the pick. And tonight, I think defensive tackle, tight end, safety – You know I would take Jalen Milroe if he's there at 64. I've made that clear for days. If he's there, I would take him to put behind Jalen Hurts. I'm surprised today that Hugh has said multiple times he would take a defensive player tonight.
Well,
I'm shocked.
I have to put my personal feelings aside,
what
man.
What personal feelings?
Well, you know how I feel about the tight end. I think he's the best tight end on the board.
Yeah.
Mason
Do
Taylor.
You really?
Yeah, I think he's the best tight end on the board. That's it. Nothing to do with anything.
Nothing else. More.
Why do you lie to everyone?
I'm not lying. I'm not lying. And I'm like, I need my defense. I'm trying to go to Cali for the Super Bowl.
So now you're a defensive guy after all these years.
I need to both, especially Joe, especially if we're talking about we might have a guy that we might not see at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. And we need some more bodies.
Defensive bodies.
We need some defensive bodies.
How about this? Hugh Douglas going back to being a defensive guy for one day only.
I'm just saying. I got listen.
What do you think the spin is, Kyle, on Monday if they draft only defensive players all weekend?
I don't even want to know.
No, but I'm just saying, as much as, you know, the potential of drafting Mason Taylor would be beneficial, I mean, man, listen, we got bigger fish to fry. We're trying to go, like Ike said last night, we're trying to go back-to-back.
That got you just, here he goes again. Just
you couldn't even say that with a straight face.
No, Kyle.
How old are you?
It's the way he said it, though.
He said back to back.
He said we're trying to go back to back.
He's right. We are trying to go back to back.
What?
It's just the way he kept saying it.
Everyone can handle that phrase except you. Everyone.
We've lost him. We try to go back to back.
He's right.
What is I'm not following that one, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you the break.
This guy's too
guilty.
All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to as many of your phone calls as we can on the other side. The Jahad Campbell pick. Like it, love it. Where'd you come down? What do you want tonight? And I did put Hugh on the spot. He's going to have to give us Taiwan Walker's final line in the Phillies game today when we get to leading off, which we'll do in the 1 o'clock hour. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.